When the queen had wept to her heart's content, she prayed to the huntress Artemis, first of all. Artemis, goddess, noble daughter of Zeus, if only you'd whip an arrow through my breast and tear my life out. Now at once, or let some whirlwind pluck me up and sweep me away along those murky paths and fling me down where the ocean river running round the world rolls back upon itself. Quick as the whirlwind swept away Pandarius's daughters, years ago when the gods destroyed their parents, leaving the young girls orphans in their house, but radiant Aphrodite nursed them well, on cheese and luscious honey and heady wine, and Hera gave them beauty and sound good sense more than all other women. Virgin Artemis made them tall, and Athena honed their skills to fashion lovely work. But then, when Aphrodite approached Olympus's peaks to ask for the girls their crowning day as brides from Zeus who loves the lightning, Zeus who knows all that's fated, all not fated for mortal man, then the storm spirit snatched them away and passed them on to the hateful Furies, yes, for all their loving care. Just so may the gods who rule Olympus blot me out. Artemis, with your glossy braids, come shoot me dead, so I can plunge beneath this loathsome earth, with the image of Odysseus vivid in my mind. Never let me warm the heart of a weaker man. Even grief is bearable, true, when someone weeps through the days, sobbing, heart convulsed with pain, yet embraced by sleep all night, sweet oblivion, sleep dissolving all the good and the bad once it seals our eyes. But even my dreams torment me, sent by wicked spirits. Again, just this night, someone lay beside me, like Odysseus to the life when he embarked with his men-at-arms. My heart raced with joy. No dream, I thought, the waking truth at last. At those words, dawn rose on her golden throne in a sudden gleam of light. And great Odysseus caught the sound of his wife's cry, and began to daydream. Deep in his heart it seemed she stood beside him, knew him now, at last. Gathering up the fleece and blankets where he'd slept, he laid them on a chair in the hall. He took the ox hide out and sped it down, lifted his hands and prayed to Zeus, "Father Zeus, if you really willed it so, to bring me home over land and sea lanes, home to native ground, after all the pain you brought me, show me a sign. A good omen voiced by someone awake indoors, another sign outside from Zeus himself." And Zeus, in all his wisdom, heard that prayer. He thundered at once out of his clear blue heavens high above the clouds, and Odysseus's spirit lifted. Then, from within the halls, a woman grinding grain let fly a lucky word. Close at hand she was, where the good commander set the handmills once. And now 12 women in all perform their tasks, grinding the wheat and barley, marrow of men's bones. The rest were abed by now, they'd milled their stint. This one alone, the frailest of all, kept working on. Stopping her mill, she spoke an omen for her master. "Zeus, Father, King of gods and men, now there was a crack of thunder out of the starry sky, and not a cloud in sight. Sure it's a sign you're showing someone now. So poor as I am, grant me my prayer as well. Let this day be the last these suitors bolt their groaning feasts in King Odysseus's house. These brutes who break my knees, heart-wrenching labor, grinding their grain, now let them eat their last." A lucky omen, linked with Zeus's thunder. Odysseus's heart leapt up, the man convinced he'd grind the scoundrels' lives out in revenge. By now the other maids were gathering in Odysseus's royal palace, raking up on the hearth the fire still going strong. Telemachus climbed from bed and dressed at once, brisk as a young god. Over his shoulder he slung his well-honed sword. He fastened rawhide sandals under his smooth feet. He seized his tough spear, tipped with a bronze point, and took his stand at the threshold, calling Eurycleia. "Dear nurse, how did you treat the stranger in our house, with bed and board, or leave him to lie untended? That will be mother's way, sensible as she is, all impulse, doting over some worthless stranger, turning a good man out, to face the worst." please, child," his calm old nurse replied. "Don't blame her. Your mother's blameless this time. He sat and drank his wine till he'd had his fill. Food, he'd lost his hunger, but she asked him, and when it was time to think of turning in, she told the maids to spread a decent bed, but he, so down and out, poor soul, so dogged by fate, said no to snuggling into a bed between covers. No, sir, the man lay down in the entrance hall, on the raw hide of an ox and sheep's fleece,